Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am so excited about our guest today, and I know you are going to be as well. I have Michael Gebbin. Michael spent 7 years building a video company that was the envy of everyone in his field, Gebbs TV, until one day he woke up to the realization that he'd built a cage of his own making and given up so much of his life in the name of something that didn't really mean a whole lot. So he hit reset and over the last 3 years rebuilt his life and his career around what matters and even launched a new inspirational YouTube channel. He has profoundly changed his metrics for success. Michael's current company, Jumpstarters, helps creative entrepreneurs to get over the same hurdles that he was able to conquer, allowing him to work with individuals such as Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins, and Richard Branson. Michael is a big believer in massive imperfect action rather than getting stuck in the minutiae and never moving forward. It's my pleasure to welcome Michael Gebbin to our show.
That sounds good. I had somebody else help me write that because I'm not the best writer, but I could sure talk. But thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I love that you just shared that because I have a writer write most of my stuff because I'm a professional speaker. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Well, I used to think there was, right? That's, I think, how we go through life sometimes. We get programmed a certain way and we get shameful because we think we should be, you know, be Superman or Superwoman. But that's just not the reality.
Absolutely. So, Michael, take us down a little journey and fill in some of these gaps with us, kind of where you were and then now where you are today, and kind of just give our listeners just a little bit more idea about what you do.
Yeah. So, you know, I've actually been doing a lot of these lately. So I've been learning, and we were kind of talking beforehand that some people, you know, come on podcasts and I've listened to them where you have no idea what the person does. They just talked for an hour. You might have enjoyed it, but you know, you have no idea. And so I've started to kind of go in reverse slightly to what I'm currently doing and then how that relates to my journey and the fact that the success that I've had and the things I've accomplished most definitely did not happen, overnight. You know, like we were talking beforehand, sometimes people paint a picture like they just, you know, crawled out of a cave and then they're making $100,000 a month. And that's far from the truth. So, you know, right now for me in Jumpstarters, we're helping, you know, coach creatives and people who are feeling really stuck and confused and unclear because in a box because of the advice that they've been given from their peers, from people they're being influenced by online and courses and trainings and all these things out there. Because I just got off a call with somebody who, you know, there's so much generic broad advice out there that's not specific to an individual. And maybe what worked for Michael Gebbin can work for some other people. But if I'm not aware, am I only giving the advice as if what I did will work for everyone, then yes, there will be people who might be similar to me who will win, but anyone else who's not will lose. And so much of the advice is like that. It's somebody who did something and then they're not looking at individuals. They're just looking at people as all these people out there. And here's what I did. And if you do it, you will win too. But I'm seeing so many people struggling. And so we help them shine that light and that spotlight on helping them become more self-aware and have that greater self-understanding about how they're wired so they're not a head of lettuce, hammer, and a nail. It just doesn't work, right? And so, yeah, we hold events and do, you know, private days and things like that with people and help them get clear on all that. So that being said, ties me back to when I started my video journey. And I had no idea. I've always been kind of entrepreneurial. I had a candy machine business in high school, tried all sorts of different things. I got a paper out when I was 10. Always been kind of selling. But my dad works at a cemetery and we made movies and he was always into all that kind of stuff. And one of the funeral homes asked him if we could make a slideshow. So my first stuff in my video company was a funeral slideshows when people passed away. And then one of my friend's neighbors asked me about a wedding. I was like a senior in high school. And basically, I filmed my first wedding in like May of 2005. And since then, I filmed over 300 weddings. And it's been quite a journey. The big thing I did there that helped me stick out was a same-day edit. I shot that day and I showed the video that night. And I was one of the first in like the United States, like probably one of the top 20 that did that. And so that being said, what's interesting is this cage that got created for me in video was because of exactly what I'm helping people with now is I was so influenced by all these other people. Like when I first started, I didn't have a lot of influence. There wasn't even a lot to look at. Like I got a wedding DVD from my mom who she cleans houses and like gave me this DVD and I looked at it and that's what I modeled my first video. I couldn't go on YouTube or Vimeo or any of these other sites and find like millions of videos to be inspired by. And so I feel like that was actually a competitive advantage because now there's so much paralysis by analysis, too many options. But I got into it in the first one, 2005, opened the doors to Geb's Total Video, and we called it Geb's TV, but Geb's Total Video in 2006. And then by 2006 and 2007, a lot more stuff started to pop up. Video, all these forums and different teachings and different people to be inspired by. And then that's where I found that I started to go down the rabbit hole of what I saw everyone else doing. And it wasn't until about 2010 where I was going nuts. Like I wanted to get rid of everything. I wanted to stop the whole business. And I was 9 months behind delivering people's wedding videos. And essentially I thought if I go to the movies, like other than a small town, about 26,000 people, I'm like, if I go to the movie, I thought that if I saw somebody, they were going to chew me out because why am I enjoying myself? And I, hadn't gotten them their DVD right in nine months. And so it was just, it was brutal. And then, I finally had this revelation that I call now the My Way decision that helped myself and helped others, but I was very unaware that that's what I was doing back in the day. I was just desperate. But I was delivering up to 10 to 12 videos for people, and I was asking the couples what they liked who had had their DVDs for 6 months to a year. People were like, tell me about the same day edit. I'm like, oh my God, like I finished that day. Like what about the other ones that I procrastinate on forever and they weren't watching them? So I made this bold move to just say, I'm going to edit, speak, dress. I'm going to do everything my way. And it's, my way or the highway. And if you don't fit into it, too bad. But I mean, I wasn't brutal about it, but I just, in my mind, that's what I was thinking. And my gosh, you mentioned Tim Ferriss, all these people. Within 12 months of making that decision, my life got way better because what I learned now is I actually poured my heart and soul, and people like saw that into every job I did, because now I wasn't getting the job where, somebody comes and says, will you do this? And you're in your mind going, here we go again, another one of those. And then out of your mouth says, yep, I'll do that. And then you end up in this trap of all these clients and all this work that you're not proud of, you're not excited about. And that's what I had done. And I shifted that. And then, as I say, the rest is history on certain levels, but we can dive deeper. But, I can be long-winded here, so I want to make sure I have pauses so you can probe.
Absolutely. Well, you made so many really great points in there. But, obviously, sometimes we start out doing something and we became so successful at it, but then suddenly you are trapped. And I think so many people stay trapped in that where it's like it becomes, I've heard people say to me, and then it turned into a monster. And it's like
that's a good place.
And they don't know how to then say, I'm not enjoying myself anymore. This is not really what I envisioned this to be. It's turned out more. And so, you know what? I need to change it into something else. And I think a lot of people are fearful because they feel like they're going to lose everything. So I think,
What I found actually recently that's been coming up a lot is that we're not fixing the root problem. So when people think that, oh, this thing sucks now and whatever else, I'm going to change and go do this other thing. If you haven't gotten to the root of the problem, you might start off and that thing will work and it might be fun again. And then 3 years, 5 years, you're going to be in the same prison that you were in 5 years earlier because you didn't actually get to the root of why. Why were you unhappy? What happened here? And that takes a lot of deep reflection and really looking at things to really figure that out. And that's one of the things that we're doing because, that whole phrase like coaches need coaches thing. Well, I believe that. Like I believe we need somebody else, regardless of coach or whatever you want to call, but somebody else to see us and be shining that light on us, because it's just difficult. You get in the thick of things and it's hard to do even what you do. Anybody out there might be, whatever you do, you might not do great for yourself, even though you do it great for someone else. You see that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that I think was a great point is that you need to get to a point where you are confident enough to say, You said, my way or the highway, not so much like that, but these are the clients I choose. This is the work I'm choosing. You know, these are my parameters and my boundaries. If it fits in there and I can help you, great. If it doesn't, there are plenty of other people that are probably willing to help you with what you need. That requires a certain amount of confidence, I think, in yourself and in what you do, in knowing I do this really well, and I'm going to stick to what I enjoy and what I do really, really well, and try instead of trying to be all things to everybody.
Well, and that was Geb's total video. I mean, total was very true. It was all things for all people. And I kind of give the analogy of like a sushi chef or an all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, you don't go into a sushi restaurant asking them to make you a supreme pizza. Now, I get very intense when I kind of talk on podcasts and things like this to people, but never, people who know me, like, never, never, never did I ever say my way or the highway to someone on the phone with a couple or anything like that. But in my mind, because I was so desperate, I thought I had nothing to lose. So I just shifted the comp. I went down from spending 45 minutes talking about the offerings that they were going to get to spending an hour doing what I actually can do really easily. I mean, you cut me off, right? Or we got to go and everything like that. Like, I could talk on here for hours. I love it. And just going on different little tangents. And that's what I would do with the couples. And so I spent 45 minutes now talking about them and talking about my passion for what I do and all that. And then it was like, oh, and this is what I offer. And then, you know, and I just told them, but I became very confident because of all the years of effort before it. And I think that that's where, like, I've heard people say double your rates. And this is back again to being broad and generic advice that's out there, is that double your rates can be great advice. I have seen that work wonderfully, but it depends on where you're at. And that's where people got to recognize where they're getting advice and how it applies to them. Because I've seen people who are where I was, right? I had a lot of demand, little supply. I was overwhelmed, overworked. And so, yeah, if I double my rates and I lose half the people, I can make the same amount of money with less effort. But if I don't have any business whatsoever, I've had guys, I just did a podcast with a guy I did coaching with. Now he has a podcast like 2 or 3 years ago. And he's like, the first thing you had me do was lower my rates. He goes, you told me, would you rather have 30 jobs at 1,000 than 6 at, you know, 2,000 or 3,000, because he had no demand. Nobody, he didn't have a reputation. Nobody knew who he was. And he goes, within 24 hours, I booked somebody who I told to, she only had 1,000, and then she paid 1,500, and she was elated because she really wanted to work with him, but just didn't come up with the two. But then it's now changed the complete trajectory of his career. But for 3 or 4 years was sitting there barely getting any work because somebody told him that he was a piece of, you know what, if he wasn't charging $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 for his services.
So, I see that all of the time. I mean, like, people come up to me. I had a guy recently, same thing. And he's like, well, I said, well, what are you? He said, I'm having a really hard time getting clients. I'm like, what are you charging for your day rate? It was this astronomical amount. And I said, you know, you've been doing this 6 months. I've been doing this 22 years. I said, I raised my rates each time that I was so full, that my calendar was so full that I'm like, yes, I can't take any more clients on. So it's time to raise my rate. And then people said, okay, then I guess she's really good. We need to pay it. Or people then, some of the ones that couldn't afford it, went with other people, like, you know, like might be like yourself just starting out.
And that's the thing. But the advice being given by other people is like ridiculous. And it's crippling people. And crippling. That drives me bonkers.
It does, me too. That's like one of my pet peeves. I'm like, you just don't, you can't start charging an amount till you've actually, you know, earned a living at this amount and offered value to people.
Well, it'd be hard. It's hard to build confidence. Mm-hmm. You can help rewire someone and help them build confidence and get clear a lot quicker. But at the same time, like, a lot of people's brains, like, they need that when you're doing the work and you do things and you do something good for somebody, it reinforces, oh, I'm good. And you build this up. And so, like, to never have done any work, there's no reputation, there's no anything, and just come out of the gate just because you were trained by somebody or you got the proper, like, that's the whole school thing, this entitlement. Like, people go to college and then they think they get out because I got the paper and I spent $80,000 on a degree. I should be freaking handed this job on a silver platter.
Right.
But that's just not the way life is. But our society's made us think that sometimes is how it should be.
Exactly. So, Michael, share with us then a couple of your greatest skill sets that you feel have helped you be successful in owning your own business.
You know, there's a few things here. I mean, one thing I've identified when I ask certain people, when people ask me that, is my kind of my ability to get knocked down and get back up. Like, just keep having crap thrown my way and be able to get up quicker, because that's the biggest thing. I mean, things would, you know, back in 2008, 2009, I mean, they would knock me down for a while. And it was hard to get back up. But I've learned that I'm a really good guinea pig for people, because some people, they have a hard time even doing, putting themselves in a position to even get knocked down.
Right? Exactly.
They don't even take
yes.
the action. They don't even do anything because they're so fearful. I have this big thing you mentioned at the beginning, MIA, massive imperfect action. And what I've seen through my life is, you know, I'll jump out of the plane and build my wings on the way down. So for me, that's just, I've been that way my whole life. That's natural for me. But when you get into kind of the self-awareness piece and understanding people, we are not all wired that way. Some need absolute certainty and security. You know, they need to know, like, they can have a professional wing builder get up there and still not want to jump out of that plane. I'm falling down out of the sky going, all right, here we go. I'm gonna figure this out, you know, and that works for me. But again, that won't work for everybody. So I've just learned that that's a really a trait that I guess I've had throughout my life that's gotten stronger and stronger and is a big asset. Another one that I've taken advantage but unaware of it, was really my personality, actually. And what I'm learning is in a lot of fields now, the work is becoming difficult to differentiate. So before, you didn't have all the social media, and then there was a higher barrier of entry because of how expensive, you know, either the gear or technology and things, you know, were. But now, yeah, my phone films better videos than a $3,000 camera when I started. And people who are older than me could go, oh my God, phone films better than my $15,000 thing I owned or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, so what I see now, though, is when people fly me to other states, you know, whether it's you know, you do speaking, you know, whether it's speaking, coaching, or training, or whether it's doing my video work, people fly me to San Diego, and they fly me to New York, and they fly me all over. There are extremely talented people in their backyards. They do not need to fly me in to get an actual, the product, the final delivery. If two people watch two different videos, one who's in their backyard, who they didn't pay flights and hotel, and potentially even, we'll just say, paid less money. And then there's me, they pay flights and hotel and more money to come do it. If you showed someone the two different videos, you potentially, to the common person, wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
Right.
But they're what I'm seeing hiring me, because when I keep asking people in video, in coaching and training, it's my energy. It's my passion. It's my enthusiasm. These are the words I hear, infectious energy. I hear that all the time. And it's only been recent that I've even become aware of it. And I looked at messages. I met a guy at a conference about a month ago, and we had met before. And I went on Facebook Messenger, and I'm like, oh, we've already connected and stuff. And I look, and it was 2013. So we're in 2017 right now. This was 2013. And the message back then was, man, I loved your energy. The world needs more people like you. And I'm like, dang, people have been saying this for years, and I just ignored it because I had really low self-worth for the value that I brought. And I was kind of brought up to think, if it's not hard, if it's not difficult, if it doesn't take tons of time. I mean, when I wanted to charge more in 2011 for my wedding videos, I thought, I gotta add more videos. Like, I was already doing like between 10 and 12, and I thought I needed to add more. And instead, I went from 3,500 for, we'll say, 12 videos down to 3,500 for one video. So down to, I did not change my rates. Catch that there. I was still at 3,500, and I really only did one video, and yet people were happier. I got more referrals. My business just took off because I became that sushi chef. Like, that's when I worked for Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and these different people, because I was crystal clear on what I was great at, what I didn't want to do, and what I said no to. And I didn't say it with arrogance or cockiness. Sure. I didn't say my way or the highway. It was just, I was able to, with certainty, guide people to what I did best and how I brought the value to them. And if that didn't work, then I could refer them to someone else. And then those people referred people to me because we were specialists in that area. And so, but this energy piece is so fascinating, because I think it's this invisible thing that I'm like, I'm not doing it as a tactic. People are teaching people now to be influencers and to be a certain way to get certain results. And I'm like, God, this is just me. Like, I'm not being something so I get a special outcome. And yet I'm recognizing that me being me is super valuable, and it's actually effortless, and it's easy, and it's fun, and it's exciting. And yet it is worth something and I can charge for that. And when I reframed my mind around, God, they're hiring me first for this, these invisible things, because I used to shine the spotlight. Everybody else, I've had business partners, you know, the video, you point the spotlight at the video, you point the spotlight at the business partner. Like, ah, oh, it's not, Michael doesn't do much. Like, I'm just, you know, I just make the video, you know, but anybody can make a video, you know, these were things I thought. And it wasn't until I just, in the last few years, started to shift that and seeing that with other people and helping them shift that perspective to what matters most, then you can cut the crap. You can cut all the things that are you're wasting your time on. I mean, I spent 80% of my time on stuff that didn't matter back in the day because I was convinced by other people that it did and it should matter. But really, it maybe mattered to them and it maybe mattered in their business. But for my life, it didn't. And when I cut that stuff out, life got a whole heck of a lot happier. And it's the same thing now. When I got into coaching and training, every Tom, Dick, and Harry's telling you to do a group coaching program or a 12-month program or a 12-module or a this or a that, you know, and there's so many different walks of life. But for me, I recognize I do more help with somebody in a day than I do in any other fashion, like doing a call 45 minutes at a pop or whatever. And that doesn't mean they're bad. They just don't work for me. Like people used to say, well, why would you do a same-day edit? Like, wouldn't it be better if you had more than 2 hours? And of course, the way we're wired, absolutely. If I spent 12 hours, it's going to be a better video than if I only spent 2. That's the way we're wired to think. More effort, more time, the better it is. And I finally, after years of doing it, doing a lot of them for free, I got hired to do the wedding, but couldn't convince people to hire me to pay extra for the same day edit. So like, I just did it anyways because I loved it. And then the couples seemed to love it. So I'm like, if I can't convince them, I'll just surprise them. And then lo and behold, that became the thing I got to charge a premium for, and people wanted me for that. But it took years, and yet I kept doing it regardless of other people telling me, that's stupid, man. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing those for free? I'm like, well, I can't get people to figure it out. But then when I became confident about it, I actually still couldn't fully explain it. The only thing I was able to do is be confident and certain in the fact that when I, Michael Gebbin, made them a wedding video, that when I did a same day edit, it was the best video that I personally would deliver. I can't speak for other people, but I know that it's the best thing I do. And that shift was made all the difference for people to go, oh my gosh.
Right.
So anyways.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit now about, we're going to talk about one of your greatest accomplishments and your greatest challenge, because it's always good to hear those polar opposites. Sure, so sure, share with us one of your greatest accomplishments.
You know, on a personal level, my getting married last October was amazing because we've had quite a journey. I mean, I had two girlfriends from, you know, the time I was born. Of course, we didn't start dating until 16, but 16 to, you know, like 23, 24, I had two. And the girl I married was my second one. And we dated for about 3 years. And we broke up. I was all in on my business, 100% focused on my business professionally. And we broke up. The next 2 years, 2010, 11, were just crazy on all levels, personally and professionally. And communication has been one of our biggest things that have, I mean, we just gets more awesome every day. And I know that's all, but it's like, I really genuinely feel that. And I thought never again would I was the hopeless romantic guy. And by 2012, I was pretty no hopeless romantic. I was like, it's hopeless and there's no one out there and it's not going to work. But, so there's that. And then, which is amazing. And then professionally, I mean, you know, pretty incredible some of the things that we have done. I mean, we were told by Tony Robbins people that outside of his internal crew that films the events, Oprah was the only other crew that had gotten in there externally to film his events. And we, you know, filmed the first events in 2012. So that was pretty incredible. Been to Richard Branson's island like 4 times. I mean, these are things that people have to, you know, they don't really save up money, I wouldn't say, but they typically have the money. I mean, they have $30,000 to $50,000 to go to the island. And I've gone to all these places, either been paid or I've got to go for free and got everything paid for. So I still live in a town of about 26,000 people in the Midwest. And so when I hear people say my town's not big enough or where I live or whatever, it's like, and then they tell me 200,000 people live where they're at. I'm like, oh my God, you know, but it's like the internet, the world is very small now. And, so, you know, I've still been able to stay here where my family's at and everything, and it's awesome. So, you know, but these things, as we were talking, it didn't happen overnight. It's taken that ability to believe that the worst thing that's going to happen is you get a no, and you get a no and you don't ask, you don't try. I don't believe much in, you know, lottery tickets, but you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a lottery ticket, right? So you have to take that first step. And so for me, it's recognizing the worst thing that I'm thinking. If I'm going to reach out, if I'm going to call, if I'm going to send that email, if I'm going to send, I send an email to Tim Ferriss, I send an email to Tony Robbins. And, you know, the natural inclination is go, there ain't nothing going to happen from that. Like, why even send it? But at the same time, why not? Like, if nothing's going to happen, then it, there also, there's nothing that's going to hurt doing it. And I found that that has been a huge, huge thing for me to win in life because, yeah, there's lots of things that don't happen, but there's also that one time you win the lottery, right? And then your life changes. And so, you know, I've had that and I've just had it reinforced over and over again. And so for me, it's something I just really encourage people to stop worrying about the worst thing that's going to happen and start thinking about what could and take those little steps and just do it, just see what happens. But don't have an expectation of what is going to happen from that thing. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Something good if you try, you know, so.
I pretty much have the same attitude, kind of like always, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? They say no, then I'm not any worse off than I am right now.
Exactly.
And I think that, so I've said that to people too, but I think people need to understand, and I'm sure you would agree with this, that you've done that and then the outcome has been like, whoo, great. But I bet, I'm guessing here because I know my own journey, that you've been told no plenty of times too, but it doesn't stop you from going ahead and doing it the next time.
Oh my God. the no's far outweigh. The no's, the people saying why. I mean, I still have people, like, I don't shoot weddings anymore. I still have people close to me who question. I mean, I was generating just off of weddings over $120,000, $130,000 a year. And if I would have been crystal clear on the, you know, the whole 80-20 rule and focus and all these things, like when people said, wow, it must be nice to just work on weekends, you know, I was like, well, that's a load of, you know, BS. Like,
right.
I work every day, but I spent 80% of my time on stuff that did not matter. And really, I made 80% of my income off those weddings. And then 80% of what mattered didn't matter. It was the 20%. It was the same day edit that mattered. So that whole 80-20 was so true. But I was, and that's what I help others see, because everybody else is just sending them off on these rabbit trails. And so for me, it's like, not everything does matter, not to everybody else. Like, what matters for you is what's most important. And when you get clear on that, life gets a lot more fun, a lot more easy. And that's what, you know, for me, was huge, but that was a pain. But, you know, we talk about things, we talk about 30 years, like I'm 30 years old. We talk about 30 years or 3 years or 3 months. Like, it happens, you know, I can say it in 30 seconds, but these are years. Like, these were years of struggle, years of hard work, years of no, you know, and like I said, people still having to deal with some people going, why aren't you shooting weddings? Like, you're an idiot. Like, because people are envious, they're jealous. Like, right. I wish I could have that. Like, I have people, it's like, I wish you could just train me. So I'm like, do you realize even if you could shoot just like me, that doesn't mean I could dump you into the scenario and you'd start being in hyper demand and then you'd get $4,000 a wedding. Like, it just doesn't happen instantaneously. All the struggle before that, I mean, and that's not talked about enough, and it goes by so quick, but it's so true.
Yep. So how about now a challenge, a really great challenge, that, and how you worked through it?
Yeah, you know, the most recent one I mentioned to you beforehand, you know, up until last summer, no one knew I had any debt or any money issues. I was really great at making money and wasn't great at keeping money. that was my thing. I had kind of grown up with this whole credit card debt mentality that it wasn't a bad thing. And I still have levels that it's not. It's just depending on how it ends up affecting your life. And for me, I didn't think it was. Like, I was actually, it was one of these things I was living with that I just completely ignored. Like, I had $150,000 in debt last year and I was in complete denial. Like, I just ignored it. I was spending some more time earlier in the year, like, going to get another loan to keep paying the debt rather than, like, going to make money. And somebody just shined a light on it for me, and had friends that just never knew. And it wasn't causing, I think now it was causing levels of unhappiness, definitely. But at the same time, like, I had just grown up, every transaction was a credit card. And so you can put $15,000 on a credit card and only owe $300 or $400 next month. So, like, I always could afford those payments, but it just kept compounding over time and over time.
Yep.
And so anyways, that being said, I mean, last summer I started asking people, and some people probably like question who I hang out with, but you, some people, depending on where you're at and who you know, you may know some of the names, you know, I won't mention them at all, but I had basically two main pieces of advice. don't pay the credit cards ever. Just ignore the phone, ignore the mail, just ignore it. Don't pay it ever again. And then the other one was go bankrupt. And I just did not know what to do. And I even fully pursued. I highly researched. I sat across from a bankruptcy attorney, and it just never felt right. And then a guy popped up who said, you can get out of this. And he gave me a scenario, and he had paid like $1.5 million off in like 3 or 4 years. And I did the one thing. I didn't pay any of the credit. I paid my bank, and I paid like my rent and my car. I paid a couple things, but I had a whole bunch of credit cards, and I didn't pay any of them for like 2 months. For anybody out there curious, they don't help you until you don't pay, just so you know. I mean, I called and they wouldn't do anything. And one I had them all on autopilot, which is why I always paid them. And one I had forgotten and didn't not pay, and I kept paying them. And I went and I was like, you know, thinking they'll do what everybody else had done, which was 0%. And I closed the cards out. They gave me 0% and payoff plans and much cheaper payments and all this stuff. They wouldn't do it. They're like, hey, man, everything's great. You've never missed a payment. Like, I had never missed a payment. And they wouldn't do anything. I said, okay, well, I see how this works. So 2 months went by, I called them back up, and 0% interest in the payoff plan. So, you know, but I felt in 2 months what debt-free would look like. And I lived in instant gratification world and life for the majority of my life, which was I could get what I want when I wanted without the money. And I was always able to pay all the bills. And, you know, that caught up with me. Everything has a price. And that ended up catching up with me. I got married last year and turned 30. And I, you know, just like, I can't take this into, you know, marriage and everything. And I paid off half. I haven't paid it all off yet, but my mindset, my attitude, which is really, that's what I love helping people with. Like, that's what we do. Cause to me, all the other things don't matter if you're all screwed up in the mind, and you don't get to the root problem. Cause some of my friends were like, well, just do balance transfers. I'm like, well, brother, I'm like the king of 0% balance transfers.
Right.
But I just filled the credit card back up. And it's like, you wonder why that keeps happening, you know? It's because I didn't fix the problem. And so killing the cards was like a alcoholic removing the alcohol. Like, I had to kill the addiction. And then I got to see, wow, the life we live that I love, that we're happy with, and we have sushi and we go to the movies every weekend and all this kind of stuff, but it's not that expensive. But I was paying $3,000 a month in interest. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And I was in denial around it. And so, you know, I got all that down and just shifted that. And then guess what? For anybody listening, like, money started pouring in again, because where was I putting my focus? Getting another loan, getting another credit card, getting another line, getting somebody to co-sign, like whatever, to get more debt, to pay my bills. I mean, I was making money, don't get me wrong. I just needed more money than I was making. And so when I couldn't use the cards anymore, my focus and my energy went back to just making money. And then I made way more money than I had in the prior couple years. Because I just, I mean, I had the connections, I had the relationships, I had the things, but I just, you know, I had sabotaged a few things, and that thing wasn't moving fast enough, because we kind of underestimate how quickly, you know, things can happen sometimes, and we think they're happening quicker than they actually do. And so that's what had happened to me. And, you know, I feel like I'm that much greater off helping people now, because I'm not holding secrets. Like, that was a big secret that
right.
I was holding on to, and I can just, the weights just lifted off my shoulders. I mean, I gave the talk for the first time publicly on March 10th, and I mentioned this whole thing, and man, it felt great, and people were like, wow. Because everybody likes to talk about a past, because I'm still in debt, right? So I could have waited until I paid all the debt off and then started talking about, oh, well, I'm amazing now. Look at me. I paid all my debt off, and I'm this great, like, let me teach you the ways. But first of all, I'm not trying to teach them the ways. That's not the thing that I'm teaching, but I want to be transparent in that idea that, yeah, it sucked. I wish maybe I would have talked about it sooner, but now I still have it. It's there, but I'm talking about it. I'm getting through it. I see the light, and I got a plan, and yeah, and hopefully that gives somebody else hope to know it's okay. And it feels a hell of a lot better to get it off your chest.
Absolutely. So. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know that is very personal, but I also think what you said about that mental weight that was taken off of your shoulders, that then allows you the freedom to have all those other things happen, because you only have so much energy. I always try to tell people it's like an energy clock, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can either refuel your clock with really positive things, or you can use it all up with all the negative things.
100%.
And if you are constantly using up all of your energy, you know, like, it takes a lot of work, and I know, to sort of manipulate all that, do the balance transfers.
It took me just as much time to sell the bank on giving me more money.
Exactly.
Than it did to just go get a job and make money that I wouldn't have to pay back.
Exactly. And so once you kind of, you know, are free from that, then you just start being proactive. And when you get proactive in working, and I know it always seems like, oh, just amazing, it happened. But there is a certain energy out there that when you put that focus, when you shift your focus, whether you realized it or not, you had a focus shift, and then you start really thinking about where to get work. And when you start focusing on that, it's amazing how the work starts to come.
Just started flowing in.
It does. And I wish people could, I always say, whatever you focus on is what you get, and doesn't always have to be all those positive things. Everybody looks at it like the positive stuff. You can focus on negative stuff, and that's going to be your reality as well.
Reality, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. So then in closing, what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs? And then I also would love you to share some exciting things that you're working on and where people can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, back when I held everything in, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't communicate that I was unhappy, that things weren't working out, all the way back in 2010 and 11. And when I did that, made a huge difference. Then when me and my wife now have probably over communication, some could argue, I'd rather have that than the other. But that communication is huge. But the other piece of this, which is the piece that I'm most excited about and what we're working on currently with people, is this self-awareness piece, this self-understanding, and bringing just clarity and shining a light on you for who you are and how you're wired, and not worrying or comparing against other people and trying to be someone else, because you are who you are. And it's kind of this whole focus thing again. Like when you focus on this is who I am and you let everything else go, awesome things start happening a lot quicker. Rather than years passing where things haven't worked out, now things happen a lot quicker. And it just is so much fun when you finally become super clear on who you are. You let go of, I'm not going to be this. I could maybe become it. Like I'm a person now who, like, I got a lot of energy. I'm super excited. I love to do on these podcasts, do Facebook Lives. I can speak in front of an audience. I can do all these things, but that was not on my radar. That was not a passion. So I followed what was the first right step for me. And it was the video stuff and everything I did back in the day. And then I got caught by certain bugs later in life that started to guide me towards the path I'm on today. But you can't skip all these steps, you know, you can't skip all these things. And so learning about yourself is everything, because now my relationship with my wife, my friends, my family, clients, everybody is so different. And the results that are happening are so awesome because I'm coming from a place of empathy and understanding for the other person, and not just throwing my opinions and advice based on who I am and how I am, and then thinking everybody else is going to win just solely on that reason. So that's that. And I mean, really, I mean, the biggest thing I'm excited about, I love doing my private days with people. It's the same thing like a same day edit. People try to get me to edit a bazillion other videos and all this long videos. And I just love the same day edit. My couples love the same day edit. So I ended up doing that and everybody was happy. For me, I was pushed into all these different ways of coaching and helping and training and all that. And really, when I spend a day with somebody, I'm super happy and the client gets awesome results. So we do that. And then the other thing, we do small group workshops, and I love that. And that's the sweet spot for me, and for people who fit and that can work for, it's awesome for them. And maybe they don't learn that way, and that's okay. And again, that's what we're trying to do. Not shove anything on people, but you know, that's it. So, people can find out a little bit more at takemia.com. It's massive imperfect action there, and there's goodies, and I'm kind of the reverse, give before you take. So there's, you know, people are so used to, I know they hear a lot of things on podcasts and stuff, and there's always go here and put the name and email and then I'll give you my thing and all that. You can, there's a place to give me your name and email, but you don't have to give it to me to get anything. All the stuff that's on there is a collective whole. You can just get, and then enjoy. And if you want to go deeper, fantastic. And, So
what is that website again then?
It's takemia.com. Takemia.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Michael, you have given a tremendous amount of energy today and some really great advice to our listeners. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place.
If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.